In the fall of 1985, my freshman year at Fort Hays State University, a group of friends and I watched every game of the baseball postseason as our beloved Kansas City Royals made an improbable march to their first World Series title. Little did we know at the time that that title would be a pinnacle that wouldn't come close to being reached again for 30 years. During the late 70s and early 80s, the Royals had been a perennial playoff team. It seemed likely that another title would happen soon enough. Instead, what followed was a deplorably long stretch of not just bad, but often hideous baseball that made even the most hardcore fans blush with embarrassment. A few weeks back, that changed as the Royals followed up a trip to the World Series last season, with a World Series title this season, bringing to an end nearly three decades of futility. Why do I bring up professional baseball on a show about wildlife and the outdoors? Well, other than to brag that my team won the World Series? Because I am an eternal optimist. I never doubted that they'd make it to the top again. The glass is always half full. And because that is my outlook, I believe something else will happen this year, or maybe early next year. I believe we'll once again have a real winter, with real winter travel conditions, read into that good snow machine conditions, once again. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Predicting winter and snow in Alaska might not seem like much of a stretch, but given what we've had, or not had, the past two winters, it's actually something of a leap of faith. And have you seen what the National Weather Service, those lovable folks who make a living predicting what the weather will do, have said about winter for Alaska in 2015? Thanks to a strong El Nino, they are predicting a third consecutive warm, dry winter. So a winter littered from beginning to end with really great snow machine travel days hasn't exactly been a sure thing of late. That said, I think they're going to be wrong. And for those of us who like getting out on snow machine, well, we're going to be able to do a lot more of that than we have the last couple of years. Not that that would take much. So, if you're an optimist like me, it's time to consider getting reacquainted with an old friend, your snow machine. In my case, it's possible that formal introductions will have to be made, given how little it feels like I've had quality time with my snow machine over the last 2+ years. Fact is, it's a good idea every year to give thought to some pre-ride considerations, and possibly more so this year if you haven't been out much since the early months of 2013. With November marching on, and snow looking like it might be a part of the winter landscape again, here are some things to check on your snow-go as you get it ready for this year's use. I'll mention here that I am not mechanically bright enough to remember everything I need to check when it comes to engines, so I rely on checklists to jog my memory. If you're of like mind, or ability, consider finding a good list online to make sure you have your bases covered. For example, several of the items I plan to share today came from an online list from American Family Insurance. Take the time to check the drive belt, and replace it if it's too far worn or damaged. Also, and one of my hunting buddies is going to laugh at me for saying this, remember to have a spare at all times. He and I were coming back from ptarmigan hunting west of Manicotic a few years back, and my belt blew apart. I did not have a spare on me. I had one on order, but it hadn't arrived yet. I decided to risk the trip anyway. Fortunately for me, my buddy's extra belt, though not the exact right size, was close enough to limp my machine back home. Check the track for obvious issues such as tears, missing lugs, or missing track clips, and repair as needed. Also check the slides to make sure they are in good working order. Look over your skis and runners for wear and to make sure they're straight. In putting this episode together, it reminded me that I need new plastic ski skins for my machine, something I decided at the end of what little snow machining I did last year could be put off to this year. Well, guess what? It's this year. Give your cooling system, be it fan or liquid, a good looking over to make sure everything is functioning properly. Make sure all belts are properly tensioned. It's not a bad idea to have a look at your throttle and brake cables to make sure they're secure and in good working order. Check any and all fluid levels that apply to include oil, coolant, brake fluid, and chain case oil levels. Replace or fill as needed. The best idea is to drain old fuel, if there is any, and start out with fresh gasoline. If you have gas and decide not to go that route, have some heat handy to dry out what you do have. Also, clean the carburetor. This can be done with a can of carburetor cleaner, some basic tools, and a quick check online or from the owner's manual if you still have it. Check your plugs and replace as needed. Lubricate all fittings. A well-lubricated Snow-Go is a happy Snow-Go, and a happy Snow-Go makes for a happy owner. Make sure headlights and taillights are functioning. On the trail in the dark is the wrong time to discover you have an issue. And finally, it's okay to take the time to attend what might seem like the cosmetics as well, though it can go deeper than skin deep. Deal with cracks in the cowling or faulty hood latches and such. Give a look at the windshield and make sure it's securely fitted to the cowling, and repair anything that requires it. For years I had a crack in my windshield, and each year I'd have to replace a few zip ties to keep that Frankensteinish look new and functioning properly. While it's still warmer is also a good time to lay down a fresh layer of tape to those tears in the seat. The last thing I'd suggest is to make sure you have enough tools and spare items on you, as you'll need in case there's something you overlook or something that doesn't last as long as you thought it would. Have a few basic tools, some tape, plugs, starting fluid, extra oil, heat, and whatever else you think you might need on the machine at all times. Also, add a personal survival kit, though a more thorough discussion of that is a topic for another time. If you have any questions at all about anything related to getting your snow machine ready, ask around and have a mechanically inclined friend give a hand or find what you need online. The bottom line is to start out the season in as good a condition as possible. Shifting gears just a bit, I also wanted to take a moment today to recognize that this past Wednesday was Veterans Day, a national holiday during which we recognize the sacrifices made by those who have served in our military. For a lot of folks, myself included, it was a day off from work, and while that was nice, nicer still is if you took the time to recognize why you had the day off in the first place. I was very fortunate to have been at a public recognition at the high school of many of the veterans in Dillingham. Some I did not know at all, some I know in passing, and some are good friends. Hopefully on Wednesday, each of us was able to take a bit of time and recognize the significance to the day, or better yet, actually thank a vet for their service. That glorious freedom we all have is ours thanks to the efforts of those who have faithfully served our country over its first 2+ centuries, and those who continue to serve in our military today. Whatever you may or may not think of the state of our country right now does nothing to detract from what these dedicated men and women have given to provide for the freedoms that you have as a citizen. If you missed out on the opportunity to thank a vet on Veterans Day, I'd suggest it's never too late and you jump on the next opportunity that comes your way. For myself, I'd like to give a shout out to my Togiak colleagues who are veterans, Pat Walsh, Jack Savo Jr., and Jeff Hicks of Dillingham, and Pete Abraham of Togiak. Also, I'd like to give a thank you to KDLG's Dave Bendinger, who, in a roundabout sort of way, is something of a colleague as well. To all of Dillingham's veterans, thank you. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.